Hello everyone, this is Ned O'Meara from domainer.com.au, currently in Perth, the home of Ed K. Smith, and he is my special guest as an interview subject. Welcome, Ed.
Hello, Ned. Welcome to my house.
Thank you very much, and thank you for providing the audio equipment and everything for this interview.
That's all right. That's my job.
It's most wonderful, and people that will be watching this interview can see a picture of Ed, and he's behind his drum kit, which I took a great picture of him playing playing on, etc. So, Ed, you and I have met before, and we've exchanged emails and phone calls over a number of years, and you're someone who I greatly admire. You've been in the domain business periphery, if I could put it that way, for a long, long time. And where you first came to my notice was with your blog, ozdomainer.com.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us about how you got started doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, really sort of domain names, I've been registering domains as an end user for 20 odd years. And I wish I'd known what I know now 20 years ago, and you hear this a lot from people. I sort of had an inkling that they were important, but any time, even back sort of 20 years ago when I was trying to get a lot of names, sort of, maybe not 20, sort of like around the 1998 space, I could never seem to get any. And the .com was mainly what I was trying to get back then. And it was always tricky, didn't have the tools, didn't have the knowledge, and sort of so let that go a little bit and didn't really bother, picked up a few here and there. Couple of years after that, I was running a computer supply business, and the computer supply business was going well, and I was using the internet to market that and had a website. And then around 2002, I started using this lovely marketing tool called Google AdWords that came about to get traffic to our website, and that was going well. And then a few friends would hear about this in discussion, what I was doing, blah, blah, blah. And they say, Ed, can you help us with that? Can you set me up a Google AdWords campaign for my business, whatever it was? And I'd say, yeah, no problem. So I'd help them out. Wasn't charging them anything. And then I started getting more and more people starting to ask me this. And I thought, light bulb went on.
Business opportunity.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. This could be a good consulting thing to do to set up Google AdWords campaigns. So set that up as a business, and that was running parallel with the computer supply business. That started making more money, was much less hassle than the computer supply business. So sold that and got out of the computer supply business and just purely focused on the Google AdWords consulting side of things.
So did you have a website for that where people could come to you, or were you advertising separately?
Yes, we had a website, but the majority of business we were getting at that stage was word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Ironically, even though we were using a paid advertising, consulting in a paid advertising platform, our business was mainly coming from existing customers telling other customers and networking.
So did you end up running courses on this for
people?
Yeah.
We've been running courses for 13, 14 years in Perth. Had thousands and thousands of people come through about web marketing in general, but Google AdWords was one of the focuses, and SEO and various things like that. So we were actually one of the first, if not the first, consulting company in Australia to work with Google AdWords for clients. So we've been doing it for a long time. So our company is called Online Impact, so onlineimpact.com or .com.au, either one. And we've got about 14 staff now. I've got a business partner, Alan Stewart, who lives in Queensland, where you're from, Ned.
Exactly.
Lovely part of the world. So we do a lot of different things. We're technically a web agency, and domains falls under that. We do consult with a lot of our clients on strategies on what they need to do to get domains both locally for the .com.au space, but also internationally to protect their brand and make sure that other people don't register.
Yep, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So where are all your staff?
They're all over the world. Because we're an internet-based company, we don't have an office. A lot of companies do have offices that do what we do, but we've always chosen not to go down that path. We didn't want to get tied to an office or the expense. So I work from my home office. My business partner works from his home office. We've got some staff in Australia, and we've got other staff mainly in the Philippines and a few in India, depending on the technical skills that we need.
Yeah, so virtual assistant, virtual employees,
yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and they're our full-time employees. They don't work for anyone else that we know of. Mm-hmm. we say that. If they do, they must be doing after hours, because we've got plenty of stuff for them to do. So we do web development, mainly WordPress websites. That takes up about 50% of our time is doing that. We sort of got into doing that because a lot of the clients we had who were getting it done by other companies, they weren't doing a very good job of getting it done. And the web developers didn't have a marketing sense to what they were doing. And we're first and foremost marketers. So we would always make sure we, you know, had the sites designed so that they're going to bring in leads or bring in sales, which is really the whole purpose of the website other than being a brochure. So we took over doing website development for a lot of our clients out of necessity, but we still would do have a strong focus on Google AdWords and SEO and buying domains and email marketing, things like that.
Great. So how have you found, I guess looking back over the period of time from when you first started doing AdWords as to now, I mean, obviously there have been well-documented changes in Google AdWords and AdSense and the whole box and dice along the way. How do you briefly describe the change or the metamorphosis in Google?
Unrecognizable is the change. I mean, if you look back when I first started, it was a barren landscape. I mean, there was lots of traffic. There was lots of people going on Google to search for whatever the subject was. But there was not a lot of people paying for advertising on Google because they didn't know about Google AdWords. And a lot of our clients, we were getting, for those who don't know, it's a cost per click basis. So you bid on a keyword term and you might pay 50 cents or a dollar or $20, depending on how competitive it is. And every time someone clicks on your ad that takes you through to their website, it costs you that amount of money per click. We had lots of clients who were getting, 5 cent clicks. For really competitive keyword terms nowadays where they're, paying minimum $10, $15, $20 per click. So the world has started to wake up to this whole marketplace. And it is the reason now, just in this month of January, it is now, Google is the biggest company in the world, bigger than Apple by about $30 billion.
Exactly.
So, and Google makes their money from their advertising space, whether it's Google Search or the Google Display Network, or YouTube advertising, that's where they're making all their money from pay-per-click. So it has changed dramatically. It is a lot more complex. I mean, it was relatively complex back in the day when most people didn't want to have to look after it themselves, hence they were using us.
Yep.
Now, if you haven't done, like a year's worth of understanding of Google AdWords, not only how it mechanically works in the back end, but also have the marketing understanding of copywriting and how advertising works, and you just go into it yourself, you're really potentially just going to lose a lot of money, and if you're not doing it correctly.
Almost as bad as buying crap domains, huh?
Almost. not as much.
Ed, one thing, and I don't want to dwell on Google, let's make this the last question on that,
yep.
But one thing I've always been interested in is the potential for click fraud. And I know from speaking to a lot of people, particularly these days where you get clicks that are, as you mentioned, $10, $15 it costs people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It can eat into a person's budget very quickly if you've got some competitor or whatever clicking on the person's ad. Does that still happen?
Look, it does exist, and I don't think it is a problem that a lot of people are thinking that it is. Google's pretty much on top of it. They, and if you suspect anything at all, you can put in a complaint. And if they do any research, and it's based on the IP address of where the clicks are coming from. So if there's a really clever company that has complex systems in place that are trying to bypass what Google's doing in terms of protecting from click fraud, potentially that could happen. But your average competitor isn't going to be able to do any damage to you because Google will only register one click per IP address in a 24-hour period. So someone can't just sit in their office and click on your ads all day.
I understand that.
So,
yeah, no, just a few people have mentioned that to me along the way. They're always worried about these. And going back probably 5-10 years, the click farms that existed and stuff. But anyway, I mean, I think from a domainer's point of view, I know lots of people talk about Google and how parking or how AdSense has just absolutely died. How they used to earn big bucks, from the ads that they used to have on their parking platforms or on their mini sites or whatever, but that has basically gone from hero to zero.
Yeah, I think that's more an issue, not necessarily from what Google is paying out, because the percentages are still basically the same, and often it's more because the cost per click of those ads are now greater than they were 5 years ago. It's more the fact that those websites, those mini sites, aren't getting the traffic volume that they used to because Google's dismissing them as just basically ad farm sites.
Fodder.
To try and get AdSense income from. So they've eliminated that with a lot of their updates, the Penguin updates and the Hummingbird updates and the Panda updates, all named after animals for some reason.
Yes.
So that's eliminated a lot of the crap that has appeared in the search engines over the years.
Right.
And there were, you know, people were making hundreds and hundreds of these sites very quickly, putting up some rubbish content that they'd scraped from somewhere else half the time and put some ads on it, and they were making, you know, $1,000 a month from these websites, you know, each site.
Often. Exactly. And some people were making a lot more than that.
Absolutely. And then overnight, basically, switched off.
Yeah.
So from lots of money to nothing. Because they weren't building something that was reliable and consistent and valuable. So if you build a website that has great content, is providing value to your end user, and you have Google advertising on there, I think you can still do very well. I don't like it preferably as a, you know, as a main source of income, because I never believe in having one source of income from one place or eggs in one basket scenario.
Yep.
Because it can, as people have experienced, get switched off. You know, Google changes its algorithm on something and next minute, you know, you're making lots of money to making nothing. So I like to have things spread around a bit. So, which is one of the reasons I like domain names. And sort of getting into domain names was a direct correlation between Google AdWords, because it was a very smooth awakening, I suppose, because I'm looking at keyword terms and then I'm looking at domain names and going, well, they match together, you know.
Exactly.
So I had a very, very strong understanding of what a good keyword term was. So moving into sort of starting to invest in domain names, fortunately for me, I didn't buy too much rubbish at the start. I sort of knew what was a good name and what made sense, and I was basing a lot of my information on buying domains based on doing my research in Google and seeing combinations of keyword terms, as it was two or three keyword terms, that was a highly searched on term that was legitimate, wasn't just some weird combination of words that people had in their head that they thought was going to be wonderful as a domain that no one was searching on. It had to actually match what the general public was using to search on.
So I understand. That was, and did you help some of your clients get into domains as well that were specific for their business?
Absolutely, yeah. That was one of the things. We would help clients buy domains that were relevant. One of our clients is an optometrist in Sydney from theeyepractice.com.au, Jim Kokonakis. Hey, Jim, if you're listening, he listens to our podcast.
Great.
I helped Jim, as an example, get lots of domains based on his industry, and he owns some of the best eye-related domains like dryeyes.com or specific disease names like keratoconus.com.au and etc. And so he's had lots of sites built around that. I helped him pick up optometrist.com.au when it dropped.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
I do. That was a fantastic domain name.
Great name. And he's got lots of content. That's a really well built out site.
And he got it for a great price too, from memory. It wasn't, you know, for what it is today. If that domain was on the market today, it would go for a lot more than what he paid for it.
It's been publicly discussed on other things. It was about just on 4,000, 4,500.
So cheap.
Yeah. And Jim knew that, and he, you know, he is a smart man, and I said to him, look, you know, this is, once you've got this, you own this, you control it, you know, this is going to be really, really valuable to you. It's in our portfolio. He's got several hundred domains based around the
IP. He's very lucky to have someone like you to recommend him to get into there. No, that's great. That's exactly what it should be. I know a friend in Melbourne, Tim, Fine Tim. Hello, Fine Tim. He's a WordPress developer as well for a lot of clients, and he has a lot of optometrist clients as well. But he's more into the geographic optometrist.
Okay.
Being, just for an example, Dubbo optometrist or something like that.
You great.
Know, or whatever. So So, as I said, Ed, one of the things that really appealed to me about meeting you in the first place was your blog, OzDomainer, which has been around for a long time. And tell me, how many interviews have you actually done, or podcasts have you done, approximately?
I think the number of podcasts I've done is, it's at least 50 on that, which isn't, you know, which is not a lot compared to others, but it's at least 50, I'm pretty sure, over time. That purely got started as the combination of me setting it up was I wanted to interview experts in the field so that I could learn by doing the interviews.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that was in 2007 that I started that website. I didn't do my first actual interview until I think it was about February or March of 2008. And most of the guys, actually the first person I've interviewed, I've forgotten his name, but it was a UK domain investor, and he had some great ones like music.co.uk and other things like that. So
was that Edwin? Edwin Hayward?
No, not Edwin. I have interviewed Edwin. He's another great .co.uk domain investor. I met Edwin in Amsterdam at a traffic conference over there. So he's a great guy. Got on well with him. So, a lot of the guys I've interviewed, the majority would be US-based, like Rich Schwartz and Frank Schilling and the Costello brothers, Michael and David, great guys.
You were saying off air that that was one of your favourite interviews with the Costello brothers?
Yeah, they're awesome. Why was that? Guys. Yeah, just really affable. They used to be in the music industry, they had a band together. Actually, well, now David is back in a band.
I see that, behind the drums?
Yeah, back in playing the drums. So there's we had a lot of commonalities between us. Just such lovely guys. And Michael Costello, when he got involved, you know, like we're talking 96, when domains were free.
Yep.
He really could have gone absolutely crazy and registered every single domain under the sun. But he was very respectful of the space and thought, well, you know, he's going to get things that he can see that's going to be use. And he's got fantastic names like palmsprings.com.au.
And one that he sold recently, Whiskey, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, for $3.1 million.
Exactly.
And also, nashville.com.au, daycare.com.au, goldbullion.com.au, but all .coms.
No, goldbullion.com.au actually belongs to young Ned here.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, no, some advertising for Ned. So those types of names are what they've had for years. And in the podcast, I'm pretty sure they mentioned that the Palm Springs website, just the homepage of that in advertising revenue, brings in excess of $1 million a year from advertising revenue.
Amazing.
From the homepage of palmsprings.com.
Yep.
So
I had the opportunity to meet Fred Mercaldo from GeoCities. Mm-hmm. Yep. He's into big geographic domains. I met him at NamesCon. And just chatting to him and listening to how he makes revenue from some of his domains is just amazing. So I can totally understand and relate to the Palm Springs one and other geographics, etc. So just for those people, and I'll put the link on Domainer for Oz Domainer, Ed's done some great interviews, and I'll put a couple of specific links on there where people can actually click on and have a listen to them. Ed's interviewing style is great, very friendly, as you can hear him speaking now, but I've listened to a few, and one that I really liked that you did was Zappy Zappelin.
Yep. Mike Zappy Zappelin.
Yeah.
And, real character.
And I loved the comparison about, and it's always stuck with me, about, a domain being property, you know, and he said, what was the expression? If you had a piece of land on Madison Avenue, and you'd put, you know, what would you put on an ice cream stand, or would you put a 20-story, 50-story skyscraper, etc. And that just related to me somehow, it resonated with me rather, and I always thought, what a good way of describing how you can actually build an asset out of a domain name. It's virtual property, etc.
Yeah.
Some of the other interviews that you've done that come to mind that you probably learnt a lot from?
Look, one of the ones that I held in high regard that I actually never thought I'd get to do because I held the guy in such high regard was Frank Schilling, one of the best known, most successful domain investors in the planet. And at the time that I interviewed him, whether it's still the case now, I'm not sure, he owned something like 450,000 domains. And the actual story, which is his history and how he got involved in domains, is really well documented on dnjournal.com by Ron Jackson.
Yep.
And if you go back, I think Ron covered Frank Schilling's story back in around 2007 or 2008. And that's a fascinating read, because basically Frank locked himself in a dark room for like a year. He said he looked like a caveman by the time he came out, used the last money that they had. It was about 100 grand, I think, he had left from selling houses and various things, and had made some business decisions based on some gambling domains that he was involved in. So he ended up moving to the Cayman Islands to try and bypass some legal issues with gambling names in the UK, in the US, I should say. But he was just going through and registering domains and building up that portfolio, and a lot were dropping because this is around 2001. So after the .com sort of crash, there was a lot of companies just letting go these .com domains, and he was just there, you know, picking up a lot of those. So, and he would have been considered late in the game in 2001 for that stage. But
absolutely.
But, you know, I don't believe in being late in the game, because I think there's people were telling me I was late in the game back in 2006, 2007, and I've picked up a lot of fantastic names over that time period, and you're the same. And I think people who are getting into it now, there's going to be multimillionaires in a few years' time from people who are getting into the domain industry now. And if they listen to people saying it's too late, I don't believe in that at all. You've just got to be smart about it, I believe.
Exactly. Look, as with any industry, if you're in the real estate business, 20% of the people produce 80% of the
always
of the business. And that's life's lessons, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So that's the way it works. So you can be successful in anything. I met Frank at NamesCon very briefly and had some chats to him. He's actually out here with the uni registry crowd this month, going to Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually meeting up with him in Brisbane, I think, on the 21st of February.
Cool.
They're having a little session with people and trying to get them involved with uni registry. I think because they're an accredited Australian registrar now, and they're obviously going to try and attract a lot of business to come into Australia, people to have their domains, and tied in with domain name sales. He's obviously very keen to do business here. But he's just the most exciting guy to me because he's humble. I find him humble, you know. He doesn't big note himself, but he's full of excitement and energy and enthusiasm. And you don't see a negative bone in his body. And that's what I love about
Peter. Look, I love what he's doing with Uni Registry. I've been using them. I was on the domain name sales platform early. I was invited on when it first got started. So I've been using that for probably close to 4 years now, I think. And it was back. I mean, Frank really set that up to manage his own portfolio.
Correct.
That was what it was for. That's where I've had my names for most of that time. And I've been using Uni Registry since it opened as well. I just love the platform. I'm looking forward to the market system that they'll have, which will take over from the domain name sales product.
Yep, exactly.
It seems a lot more user-friendly. It seems like it's a lot more functional.
Got quite a few more tools in there that are domainer-friendly.
Yep, the app is great. App's lovely. I use that on a daily basis now for names. Because I don't just focus on .com that I use. I've got .coms and .nets and .co.uk. I've been buying .in, so Indian names, for 9 years now. Things like solarpanels.in and waterpurifiers.in, names like that I've had for a long time that people are constantly trying to buy off me, but not the right prices.
Exactly. Understand. So, look, that app that you talk about, I'll just briefly mention that I was in NamesCon at Frank's speech when he was demonstrating the app for the first time. And up on the screen he had the pictures of it, and I sat next to this young lady who Frank said, does anyone here have the Uni Registry app downloaded? And she stuck her hand up. She's one of the first, and one of the guys came and got her details. So Frank, up on the stage, said, right, he said, here's a list of some domains at Uni Registry, all GTLDs, and gave a list of blah, 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 blah. One of them, I think, was paleo.diet, another one was newyork.live and stuff. And he said, I'm going to show you how easy it is to use this Uni Registry app and how you can transfer just by a push of a button from one place to another. And he said to the young lady, he said, now, what domain would you like out of that? And she said to me, what should I get? And I said, I don't know. I said, look, paleo diet sounds all right.
Yeah.
And she said, paleo diet. So he did a quick transfer, and he was doing it all on the screen.
Yeah, it was
there.
All live, yeah.
It was all live, and you can actually see the videos of it. It was a slight hiccup, but only because she hadn't signed in properly to her account. But it was transferred over to her instantly, and it was quite amazing. And then, funnily enough, at the auction 2 hours later, she put it up on auction and got $1,700 for it. So
that's a quick $1,700
US. Yeah, so that was lovely.
Thank you very much.
So yeah. I'm still waiting for my check for that one.
That was
so
yeah. Good luck with
my commission check.
That was her conference paid for.
Yeah, no. So it's good. So Ed, what do you think about getting back to Australian domains, mm-hmm. etc.? What do you think about the market where we're at in comparison to the .coms, etc.? How do you feel about the AU domains?
Well, look, it's a smaller market. There's only 20-odd 1 million people that live in Australia compared to 300 million in the US, and that doesn't count for the global capacity of a .com to be used. So we're a smaller market, but you know, a lot of the domains that I have sold, really, they haven't been that far off what I've seen similar .coms sold for. I think we're a very strong market, very industrial, very commercial. So, I mean, I always buy domains that I always try and see that there's some end user business use for it.
Like very smart thinking.
As much as possible. Some aren't that way, but most of them are related. So could a business run off this domain? Would people look at it and go, I can see that would be a business, whether it's a product or a service or whatever. So, and I think, well, sort of back in 2008, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Ned, that was the point where we just tipped over to 1 million domains registered in Australia. .com.au.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact, but you're probably
right.
I think
it was around 2008, because I was away traveling at the time, and I remember reading the blogs about it. So I'm pretty sure, I may stand corrected there, but so from 2008 to now, we've had another 2 million names added to the .com space, the .com.au space. So I think there's still a lot of growth potential, and a lot of the businesses that we're dealing with, some people don't even actually have a domain. So there's a lot of smaller businesses that are coming into the fold where they need a good domain. A lot of them may already have a domain, but they've registered some terrible name that no one can remember, and it's got 17 hyphens in it, and it's a .net.au.
But aren't you a hyphen fan, Ed?
I am, in a small way, a hyphen fan.
I was going to tease you about that, because that was one of my questions to you, because I noticed that you said that in reply to my friend Robert Kay, that you don't mind the occasional hyphen
domain. No, and some of the highest selling names I've had have been hyphenated names, funnily enough, and Mr. Greg Brown has bought quite a lot of them off me.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's got quite a few. You go and look up a lot of the hyphenated two. They've got to be really good ones, though. He'll only buy really good ones. And I'll only buy really good ones. Like, I've got forex-trading.com.au as an example. Great name. It developed. I never believe that a hyphenated name is anything more. It can't be used for anything other than being a developed website. It's not going to get any type in traffic. So that it has its limitations, but is still an option for companies that don't want to go and spend 20 or 30 grand to get the unhyphenated version. So
does it pass the radio test?
To a degree it does. It's better than a lot of names you hear. I think if there's a hyphen, I would rather have a hyphen than a misspelt domain. And that's what a lot of ones I hear on the radio, where the radio ad or announcer actually has to spell the domain.
Understand that. See, I sort of think, and I've tried a couple of hyphens, and I personally go away, I don't touch them mm-hmm. anymore.
Yep.
But for instance, let's take an example of Margaret-River accommodation. Would you consider that a good domain? Given that it's search, Google treats a hyphen exactly the same as the one. Would you consider?
No, that's not good, because Margaret River to me would be one word. Margaret River.
Okay. Margaret River hyphen accommodation.
So,
what do you consider a good hyphenated domain that you've got?
Here's the thing. Well, like forex-trading is a good one. And so it comes back to, if you develop that name, that can rank just as well as Forex Trading without the hyphen. So because I'm in the web marketing space, I'm looking at things not just from the aspect of type in traffic, but also looking at the name is, can it rank? Is it memorable enough to to be able to stand up to a domain that's bestforextradingcourse.com.au, right? So, you know, there's good and bad to both of those, and one's not hyphenated and has more words. Nothing will beat the unhyphenated. And, you know, if someone said to me, would you rather have forextrading.com.au or forex-trading.com.au, I'll always take the unhyphenated.
Good.
Always.
I'm glad you said that.
Always. Yes. Always. I never say they're better, but they have a place. And I have about 1% of my portfolio is hyphenated names. So I don't have a lot of them, and I only have really, really strong searched on ones. I wouldn't just, like, more than one hyphen, definitely not. I wouldn't even waste my time, because that's getting way too confusing and way too potentially getting mistyped. I think you can get away with one hyphen. And that also comes to the point of, would you register a .net.au over a .com? And I think a .net.au has just as much potential not to be good as a hyphen. So which would you rather have, a .net.au or a hyphenated name?
I think I would rather have a .net.au. Yep. Wash my mouth out with soap, Ned. I would rather have a .net.au than a hyphenated one, but I am not... I'm not a fan of NetAUs. I'm probably in the camp that used to be in like them, thinking that, well, they're a lot cheaper than the .com.au, so let me grab them. Just in recent times, I've probably bought a few. To all my loyal listeners out there, you can close your ears. I have bought a few, but only because of what's going on with AU registrations or the potential for direct registrations to come into play. If I've seen a domain that I own the .com.au in and I see the .net.au coming up, and if I can get it for $20, $50, I will buy it.
Yeah. And I'm the same. I own three. I own miningjobs.net.au, vendingmachines.net.au, and what's the other one I have? Campertrailers.net.au. That's it. That's my .net.au exposure.
Do you have the .coms and all those, .com.au's and all those as well?
No, only the .net.au's of those names. I don't have the .com.au. So, yeah.
So, for instance, I bought coaching.com.au, which is one of my better domains.
Right.
Yeah. But I also saw coaching.net.au come up. So, I spent money on that because I thought to myself, have the package.
Have the package. You can sell it as a package. It protects them from building out. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, and this is what I always say to clients, whoever owns the .com.au or the .com of the particular keyword term or phrase, if you go and build out a website that is maybe the hyphenated version of that or the .net.au version of that, you're always going to get traffic bleed from your fully developed, lots of time put into your website that is going to go to the owner of the premium name.
Exactly.
Purely because people forget. And they'll type that in.
Exactly.
See it all the time.
Very wise words.
Yeah. So if you are the owner of the .com.au and the opportunity arises to get the .net.au, basically you're protecting yourself because you're not going to let anyone else develop it. And it just, like, if you ever go to sell it, you can say, look, I've got both. It's just an added incentive. You could give it away for free if it sweetens the deal. You know, if you've spent $50 to get it.
Exactly. So, Ed, do you keep and develop your names for income purposes, or do you have a mixed bag like a lot of people do where you actually sell some in the aftermarket as well if you get a decent offer that comes along?
Mixed bag. As all domain investors and you know, people who are absolutely sort of terminal entrepreneurs and can't help themselves and are addicted to the entrepreneurial space, I have a lot of domains where I would love to develop. And they're on the cards to develop, and there's some that I would never sell. That being said, I probably sell on a yearly basis maybe 2% of my portfolio. And funnily enough, all the names I've actually been selling over the last few years have been what I would classify as my lower 2%. They're not even names that I would consider to be anywhere near my top names. And you know, often I'm getting quite healthy four figures for these names. So if the right offer comes along, I will always consider the right offer for the right name and have a a cash event and get some money in.
Exactly. No, that's good. And so how have you found the aftermarket, given that you've been in the industry here in Australia and you've seen it develop, you know, from the 1 million domains basically up to the 3 million now? How have you seen the aftermarket develop price-wise and competition-wise and so on?
Well, there's definitely more competition. There are more domainers in the market space, I think, these days.
And more end users.
And more end users, which is the exciting thing. I'm getting more offers now than I ever used to. I think there's still room for education for the end user, because a lot of people don't understand the value of what the domain is. And like you no doubt do, I get a lot of lame offers. I'll get $50 for a domain that's worth 100 times that.
Exactly. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Ed, with education. I found that from having domainer.com.au, I've written so many articles about the value of domain names, whether it be three-letter domain names or keyword domain names. And I find that when I get an inquiry from somebody, I actually reference them to an article on Domainer. Mm. Or I might reference them to an article, for instance, the one I really love is the article on Sean McGowan, how he went from Beep to Car Loans. And that's in Smart Company. And that's a great sales tool to basically show people that here's a guy that had this great brandable name, Beep, but he changed it to the exact match keyword domain for what he did as a business. Mm. And his income, you know, the turnover just leapt basically overnight.
Yeah.
And so that's very, very powerful. So people tend to believe other articles. If they can read or reference an article,
yes,
not just what you may say in an email to them and say, you should buy this domain name because of...
Absolutely.
So if they can see an article and they can read it and they can believe it, they can understand why that is. And I always find that, given that I have a lot of sales evidence now, private sales evidence as well that's not out there, I often give that to people and say, this is what I sold these domains for to these people, et cetera.
Yeah, historical evidence and proof that it's not you that's just saying a number off the top of your head that you think your domain's worth, they can actually substantiate other sales. And that's why, I think it's always good too, if you've got a .com.au that you're selling and the .com equivalent has been sold for a certain amount of price, you can always look at it and go, well, if that sold for that price, whether it's $1,000 or $100,000, the .com.au is always worth a certain percentage of a .com based on the market space.
Exactly, yes. One of the articles I have is, don't be afraid to pay. If you see a good domain name that you like that's perfect for your business, don't be afraid to pay for it, because for the sake of a couple of $100 or $500 or $1,000 or whatever, would you want to lose that domain name to your competitor? I mean, that's what I always ask people. Do you want to lose that to your competitor? How would you feel if your competitor had that domain name?
Exactly.
I always find that. So just sort of heading towards the finishing line in our interview now, direct registrations coming into Australia, or they're being talked about coming into Australia. There's been the names panel last year with about bringing .au in and so on. How do you feel about that?
I don't think it's necessary. I don't think we have the market that requires it. I think we've got a lot of room to expand with the existing .com.au market. The only reason I would buy a .au domain if they were released is just to protect the ones I've already got. But other than that, I don't see a need for it.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to do it. And I've been looking at the .uk space I've never taken up any of the .uk ones.
Because basically you've got 5 years to do that anyway.
Even think I would bother. It's not something I've worried about. And anytime I'm looking at a domain name to register in a .com.au space, one of the things I always do is I check to see if it's been registered in other extensions. First of all, to confirm in my mind that I'm not the first idiot to register this combination of keyword terms. And so if I look and see, there's been 50, global TLDs registered with that same domain and the .com.au still hasn't been registered, well, I'm going, well, that's not just me being silly. It just hasn't been registered by anyone that's seen it yet. But I always pay attention, and the .uk is always still available. Like, I've very rarely have I seen that being registered as well on top of the .co.uk. So I haven't seen a big uptake of it in the UK market. I don't think there's going to be a big uptake if it's built and added here in Australia.
I think the biggest fear that that I have is that the everyday registrant, the little mum and dad, the small business, they don't even know it's being talked about or contemplated.
No.
I think that'd be pretty dirty if they found that someone with a bigger checkbook was able to come and get a .au domain that matched their exact .com.au domain.
Mm.
So hopefully, you know, with the names panel and what's going on there, sensible rules will come into place if AU in fact does happen. And I think, you know, there's quite a bit of discussion about that still to happen. Being part of the names panel last year, there's a report going to the outer board this month. And it'll be interesting to see where that sort of goes to. I can't really talk about that, but it will be interesting. But I just think at this stage, my views are well known. I think that it's primarily a money raising exercise for registrars, resellers.
I agree. Yeah,
and yeah. And the registry and by default, for outer as well, because everyone clips the ticket along the way. By forcing people to get a defensive registration, which is effectively, because if they are going to allow people to get, in some fashion, protect their existing registrations, then how does it grow the market? That's my basic question.
Dilutes it, in my opinion.
Yes. So anyway, we'll see what happens on that. And just as a final question, for any new players coming in to the market here in Australia, if you're a domain investor, do you have any advice? Do you have any suggestions? Do you have any thoughts about how they can do from it?
First of all, make sure you're not registering a domain that someone else has the right to, like a trademark or a business name or a person's name, unless your name happens to be the same as that person. That's perfectly fine. Then you can justify it. Make sure the domain name makes sense, that it's memorable. So if people are looking at the name, they can pretty much straight away figure out what that domain is about or what their business is about based on the domain. An example, audiobooks.com.au, which is one that I own. I ask people this all the time, what do you think is on this website? And 97.8% will say audiobooks. You know, the name describes what the business is.
Exactly. So, and it passes the radio test as well.
Passes the radio test, exactly. So more than likely you're not going to be able to get the name you want to get as a new registration. More than likely you're going to have to do some research, and if no one else is using it, there's a potential to buy it. So if it matches what you're doing and it makes sense, then get the name, because it's going to pay for itself down the track, you know, 100 times over.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that you mentioned earlier about, you know, Frank Schilling and stuff, was that it's never too late to get into the market. And I think that more so applies to the AU market, because
definitely,
we only have 3 million registrations as opposed to 126 million .coms. And I think there is huge opportunity for people to come into our market and to become a domain investor. In fact, I think you had the pleasure of meeting young Robert Kay.
Yes,
a fellow musician based here in Perth. He's basically come into the domain business a year ago.
He's killing it. He's doing some great stuff.
Absolutely. And it just shows that with a bit of common sense, a bit of attitude, a bit of enthusiasm, hey, the sky's the limit as far as what you can can achieve.
And it's not about quantity. Like, whether you've got one domain or, you know, 500,000 domains, that's not the point. I would quite gladly hand over all of my domains for something like creditcards.com. You know, if someone said to me, I'll give you creditcards.com for all your domains that you've got, I'd go, done deal. And that's one domain. So it's not the quantity that matters, it's
exactly
the quality. So you're better off investing more money into a quality name than having lots of crap names that don't mean anything.
Absolutely, so makes sense.
So do your research, make sure it makes sense, ask a few other people, speak to people like Ned or myself. You know, we've got websites you can ask questions on.
And the beauty of our business, Ed, and I'm sure you still feel this, it's exciting. You know, if you get in there and you're buying a name, it's addictive. You know, and you're good names and you're selling good names, it's addictive. And if you do the right thing and don't buy people's brands or trademarks or whatever, it can be the most fulfilling business to be in. Quick, you know, easy, good cash flow. Just keeps happening. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Ed, thank you very much for the chat today, and thank you for the audio equipment and stuff pleasure. Like that. It's been great chatting to you, and I encourage everyone to have a look at Oz Domain's website and have a listen to some of his past podcast interviews, because they really are enlightening. He's interviewed some people that I would just die and go to heaven to interview. So thanks again, Ed.
No worries, Ned. Thanks, mate.
All the best. Bye. Cheers.